I greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Good to be here again and worship. It's maybe some different emotions going through us as we maybe face a little different reality. I don't quite feel like a visitor here yet, but after not being here for a while, it's a little different. But we are glad to be here. We think often of you here and talk about you here, and I say we do enjoy visitors there, especially visitors from here. So if you've been there, you're welcome back. If you haven't been there, you're especially welcome. So come and visit us there. For a message this morning, my title of the message is Walk Humbly with Thy God. And I guess this is one of those messages that come out of a lot of thought in my life. Maybe I'd say it's a message where I don't necessarily feel that I have attained, but I've spent time thinking on it. And I'm not sure when first I would have thought especially on this, but I guess I'll just share one experience that happened to me last winter here. And I got a lot of cards for my birthday. It was my 40th. And one of them was from one of my sisters, and she had just a little note along with that. And yeah, it talked about the milestone of being 40 and talked about some of my responsibilities in the church. And she just said, I just encourage you to stay humble. And I don't know if she's seeing something in my life that prompted her to say that, or she just thought about it as an encouragement. I've never asked her that. And maybe there's something that you see in my life, and I would want to be open to that as well. And in a way, I wasn't sure where to begin, because at home in Montana, I first shared a message on pride, and then I shared this message. In some ways, I feel like I'm just sharing half of it, but I'll try to hopefully make it whole this morning. And I guess the one verse that came to me at the beginning of this, I was starting to prepare for this message, and it was in our Sunday school a couple weeks ago. One of the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And that poor in spirit would have the thought of being humble. And if you look up the Greek words behind that, it's actually the attitude of a beggar to those around him, that he recognizes that he is even lower than those around him. And there was a thought shared recently over there about humility. But humility is not necessarily that we are thinking so little of ourselves. I believe there's an improper low view of ourselves, and that's maybe a subject for a different time. But I think humility is not so much thinking poorly of ourselves, but it is that we are thinking of others, of looking for ways to help and be a help to others. I'd like to turn to Micah chapter 6, as you may have expected from the title of the message, and look at a few thoughts there at the beginning of the message here. Micah chapter 6, verse 6. "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." And these are all familiar verses to us, each one, and many times throughout time, man has made attempts to please God. And it seems like we always want to be able to do something external. We want to be able to give something to appease our conscience. We want to be able to just hand a gift to someone, and there our need is taken care of, our debt is paid, and people will give large gifts to try to satisfy this. They want to do something to gain favor with God, and I don't think we as our people here are exempt from that either. We want to be able to, I think maybe it's a subconscious thing. We think maybe we can put a lot in the offering, or we can maybe dress right, or maybe we can give time in service for God, voluntary service, where we're giving of our time and not being paid. And yet we, and somehow we think that that is going to gain favor with God. But we notice the three things that we do here that we can do to please God, to satisfy the requirements of what we would need to have a relationship with Him. And we have do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with God. And I think the first one, maybe we wouldn't have to be as humble. We can show justice to people. We could be fair with them. I think as we think of having mercy on people, especially how easy is it to be merciful to someone if there is pride in our lives. And we think about pride and what that does to us and to our relationships with other people around us. Pride, pride is one area of pride is lifting ourselves up. And often when we have someone, when we lift ourselves up, then we have to push other people down to keep holding ourselves up. We have to keep running other people down. And we don't want to show mercy. We want to push them off to the side so that we can show our way in the forefront. And then we think of walking humbly with God. And I think if as we think of God and who God is and the greatness of God, the holiness of God, is there any other way that we can walk humbly with Him as we recognize who He is and who we are as man that He has created as we stand before a God who is the creator and in control of all things? And our humility, our lack of it, does affect the nearness of God in our lives. I have some verses to read here. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 138:6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud knoweth he afar off. So we see that God is near to the humble, but the proud, he is far from them. He cannot live close to someone that is proud in their hearts. And what does it take for us to be a humble person? I thought we had to look at that a little bit. What it takes for us to be humble. Some characteristics of a person who is humble. And I think we ought to look at the example of our Lord, of Jesus. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, begin reading at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We think of Jesus and his example to us here, and we think of him as the Son of God and of him leaving the glories of heaven and coming down to earth And we think of his life here on earth, his humble life, as he lived among poor people in a poor village that was looked down on by other villages. And we think of him being rejected as the Messiah here on earth by his people, by even those of his own family and those that he grew up with. And we think of him not owning much of anything. Talks about, he says that I'm not pulling it together right, but the animals have places to lay their heads, but the Son of Man doesn't. So he was poor. And then we think of him, his death, and we think of his treatment over the time of his trial, being arrested, and the accusations that were made against him, and of being beaten and sentenced to death. And again, humiliation here, a death that was reserved for the worst of criminals in the world there, in their world those days. The most humiliating death. And yet we think of his response to the accusations against him. And I'd like to go to 1 Peter chapter 2 for that, verse 22. We'll start in verse 21. For even hereunto were ye also called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So here we see the example of Jesus as he was tried, and it said he didn't defend himself against the accusations that were brought to him. He didn't even open his mouth, and he would have had the opportunity here probably to really say a lot of things to these people, but he didn't try to run others down here. And so we have the example given for us here, the things that may be said about us at times, the hurtful things that are said, and sometimes false accusations are given to us. And what are we going to do with the things that come our way? And our human response is to rail back at those that would bring false accusations to us. And we see Jesus here not even answering, not even opening his mouth to refute some of these accusations against him. And I think we already talked a little bit about Jesus' humble life, but I think more of him, of his humble example as he lived his life, as he went about not trying to attract attention to himself. And we could think of the times where he would have the opportunity to be made king. There was a couple times the crowd wanted to crown him king, and he escaped from that. It would have been lifting himself up. And we think of, there was a lot of attention given to him, but I don't believe he looked for the attention. And I think even of times where he performed a miracle, and he told the people to, just be quiet about it. Don't tell others. And also he pointed others to his Heavenly Father. He pointed the glory for his miracles to God, to the Heavenly Father. So today, thinking about us and our world, what does a humble person look like today? What do we think of when we think of a of a person who is humble? And I think of a person that has a servant heart, someone who is not looking out for themselves all the time, but someone that is looking for ways to help others, to be of service to others, and even one that is willing to put others' needs before their own. And I think of someone that is not always talking about themselves and the things that they have accomplished, and someone that is interested in the things that are going on in others' lives, and one that doesn't have his deeds don't have to be noticed by others, even the good things that he has done. And And I wanted to say a little bit more. I thought, and maybe I've been convicted of this in my own life, we think of us sitting around in our social times as a when we're talking with each other, and I think of maybe our feelings in a conversation setting, and we're but what about I get interested and I just listen sometimes, and sometimes we have to, one person tells a story, so someone else tells a story to top them, and it goes on. And we have to give our opinion. And I'm just throwing it out as a challenge about being humble in our conversation, that we let someone else have the limelight sometimes, and that we don't have to maybe let our opinions always be known and have the bigger story. Along with that, is a humble person is one that is not always putting others down, but is looking for ways to encourage others. And also one that is willing to work together with a brotherhood and to submit to the brotherhood. And if you're still in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3 to 6, it says, speaking to the leaders first here, neither being as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Submitting to those in authority over us, and also submitting to each other in the brotherhood. And also, along with this, a humble person is one who, when given authority, does not lose his humility. And I think maybe this is probably one of the greatest tests of humility in our lives, is being given authority. And it's something that I have noticed. It's interesting to watch people that have been given authority, how they respond to that responsibility being given to them. And I would say that often a right response to authority given to us it's directly related to how we responded to authority in our past. And also, a humble person is someone who is open and willing to admit our mistakes and shortcomings. And I think that's especially for those in leadership, and it would include parents, that we are willing to admit when we fail. And I think about that as parents, even not being too proud to admit when our children make mistakes as well. That can be a humiliating experience when our children fall short, and we have to bear responsibility for that. But I believe being humble, we can be open with others about our shortcomings and gain help in our shortcomings. And moving on, humbling ourselves before God, I believe, is a requirement, not an option. As you read through the scriptures, and you can look mostly through the Old Testament, but there's numerous accounts where God takes his people and his individuals through hard times, and that is for the express purpose of making them willing to humble themselves before him. And I believe sometimes for us today that if we are not willing to voluntarily humble ourselves before God, he will bring circumstances into our lives that will humble us. Some examples of where God has worked through people's lives. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And King Manasseh in 2 Chronicles 33, wherefore the Lord brought upon them captains of the hosts of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5, the someone that didn't humble his heart, says, and thou his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thy heart, though thou knewest all this. And we know what happened. The kingdom was taken away from him that night. We also have the example of the Apostle Paul. I think I'll read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It says, and that lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And I don't know what this was, this thorn in Paul's life, but it was something that God sent his way that he felt was to keep him humble before him. And could it be, as we think of some of the experiences we go through in life, and maybe even some of the struggles we have in relating with others, could it be that it is a God working in our life, bringing things in our life to keep us humble and to keep us from lifting ourselves up too high and thinking too highly of ourselves? I'd like to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 12, and this is God speaking to Solomon after Solomon had prayed a prayer and dedicated to dedicate the temple. Verse 12, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that was made in this place. And so I would like to challenge each one of us, if God seems distant in our lives, if it doesn't seem like our prayers are going anywhere, consider what God says to Solomon here. Could it be that I have not humbled myself before him as I should? May we, as we go from here, may we humble ourselves before God, that he may lift us up in due time. Let's kneel for prayer.